Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to be preaching from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul's epistle or letter that the Holy Spirit inspired him to write to the church at Ephesus. And I'm going to be talking about God's mercy to sinners. God's mercy to sinners. And this chapter 2 begins by what I could say is sort of like every true believer's autobiography up to the time that the Lord has brought them to faith in Christ, up to the time of the new birth, you might say. And it starts out in verse 1. The apostle writes, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now that quickening is a life-giving spirit who gives spiritual life to spiritually dead sinners. And one of the problems with modern-day religion, even modern-day Christianity that denies the doctrine of Christ, is that it fails to recognize the state of man by nature. The state of all people, all men and all women, by nature, as we are naturally born into this world. You see, false religion gives you the impression that you have some spark of goodness and some freedom of will, which would cause you to desire, in some instances, the things that glorify and honor God, especially the things in salvation. But the Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches otherwise. The thing about false religion, and I say this all the time on this program, when you come to the true gospel has to do with salvation from sin, the salvation of sinners who are by nature spiritually dead. Now, they're physically alive. They have a mind. They have a will, they have a desire, they have a conscience, they have a moral compass. But the problem with it is all of their faculties, all of their mind, their affections, their will, even their moral compass is fallen and corrupted with sin and ignorance, darkness, self-righteousness, self-love. And what the Bible says is that we all fell in Adam into the state of sin and death. And as a result, we are born spiritually dead. That is, with no capacity to see and to understand and to know and to believe and love the things of God. So when false religion comes along and denies the true gospel, which teaches salvation, conditioned on Christ and on Him alone, but it teaches, false religion teaches, that salvation is conditioned on you and me, on sinners. It's denying the truth that God reveals in the Word of God of the natural state of men and women by nature, as we are naturally born. And so this is what he's saying at the opening of this chapter. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You hath he made alive. You who have been born again by the Spirit. You remember Christ told Nicodemus, you must be born again, born from above. And that's not the physical birth. That's not your physical birth. You were not born naturally having this spirit, spiritual sight, spiritual desires. You had sight, physical. you had desires, but they were not towards God, not the true and living God now. You know, by nature, men and women concoct a God of their own imagination. Even those who are false Christians, they talk about the God of the Bible, but they deny what the Bible says about him. And so you hath he quickened. You must be born again, or you cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is Christ and his church, his kingdom of salvation. Well, this new birth, this quickening, is the fruit and the result or the product of the work of Christ as the surety, the substitute, and the redeemer of his people as he died on the cross for their sins, paying their debt to God's law and justice, establishing righteousness. You see, sin demands death. The wages of sin is death. But righteousness demands life, and we don't have righteousness. The Bible says in Romans 3 and verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, that doesn't mean there are none moral or religious. A natural man, the natural woman, can be moral and religious in the eyes of men. They can be good people as fallen humanity judges goodness. But in God's eyes, there's none good, no, not one. Because God's standard of goodness is the perfection of the law, the perfection of righteousness that can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ by his death on the cross. And so Christ died, he was buried, he arose again the third day, meaning that he brought forth life. And he gives that life to all for whom he died, God's elect. Because God has imputed, charged, accounted righteousness to them, they will be quickened. They'll be made alive. But before that quickening, what is their biography, their autobiography? Well, look at this. And you, verse 1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, spiritually dead. No eyes to see, no ears to hear, no desire toward God. And what that tells us, that if left to our own wills, people talk about free will today. Our will is free only in this sense. We're free to do what we desire. The problem is that by nature, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He can't even know them. They're foolishness to him. He can't, they're spiritually discerned and he can't discern them. He doesn't know the value of them. He doesn't believe God. You see, faith is the gift of God which comes in this quickening. And you won't believe God. Now, you may think you do, but test your faith with the Scriptures. Who is God? Who are you? Who is Jesus Christ? Who is God manifest in the flesh? That's Christ. What did he accomplish on the cross, you see? So people say, well, God's trying to save everybody. Christ died for everybody, and it's offered to everybody. Now, if you'll just cooperate. By nature, the Bible teaches that by nature, man will not cooperate. You must be born again, or you cannot even see the kingdom of God, let alone enter it. The Bible says that those who are willing to come God's way through Christ are those who are made willing in the day of his power. God gives them a new heart. He gives them a new mind, a new sight. They see things that they didn't see before. I can remember when I first heard the true gospel, how it was so offensive to me. But then God, in his power and in his good providence, he gave me eyes to see what I didn't see before, ears to hear what I didn't hear before. I saw it in a different way. I heard it in a different way. And I believed it because God gave me faith. And that's what Ephesians says on down here. Faith is the gift of God. So when he says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, he's talking about the new birth. You were spiritually dead. Now, here's how that spiritual death evidences itself. Look at verse 2. He says, wherein in time past
you walked according to the course of this world. Worldly.
Now understand this now. This is very important, or you will not understand the scriptures. You will not understand the Bible.
When you read passages like this, let me just read it all and I'm going to go back. He says in verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. You were a worldling. That's what I was before God saved me. According to the prince of the power of the air. And that's talking about Satan and his the realm that he works in. The power of the air means that Satan works in a spiritual way, but not the spirit of life. It's the spirit of death. He says, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's what man is by nature, a child of disobedience. You know what a child of disobedience is? An unbeliever. And it says in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation. That's our walk, our way of life, our way of living in time past, in the lust of our flesh, the desires of our flesh, that's sin, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. In other words, sin was not just in what we did, is in what we thought. And were by nature, as we were naturally born, the children of wrath, deserving of wrath, even as others. Now that's how he describes man by nature, even God's people before they're quickened. And so what do they need? They need God's mercy. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. God's mercy for sinners, to sinners. What is mercy? Well, that's God not giving me what I deserve. That's what is love and grace. God giving me what I don't deserve and earn. What have I deserved? What do I deserve and what have I earned? The wrath of God. The judgment of God, eternal damnation and death. But if I'm one of God's chosen people for whom Christ died and was buried and arose again, what does God give me? He gives me his mercy, his love and his grace. Not because I've earned it, not because I deserve it, and not because I made a decision. It's all based upon what Christ did. But let's go back now. Verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. What is the course of this world? When you think about worldliness, what do you think of? Do you think of open immorality, perversions, such as homosexuality, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, prostitution, gambling, whatever? What do you think of? Do you think of the immoral, perverted segment of society? Well, that's if your thinking goes no further than that, you've missed what the Scripture says. Because the course of this world includes the world's false religion. Listen, any religion that teaches salvation conditioned on sinners and not on the Lord Jesus Christ alone, the true Christ of the Bible. Any religion that teaches any other way, but the way of God's grace based upon the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, freely imputed and received by faith, is a worldly way of walking, a worldly religion, a false religion. You take a person who's trying to be the best they can be, the most moral they can be, responsible, leaders of society. If they don't know Christ, if they're not submitted to Him as the Lord their righteousness, if they've not admitted before God and men that based on their best works, they deserve death and hell. My friend, they are worldlings. And that's what I was. That's what any of God's people were before they were quickened and brought to Christ, convicted of sin, to know that at my best state, I cannot say that I've earned or deserve salvation or any of its blessings. according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's satanic unbelief. Just like when Christ looked at the Pharisees and he said, you're of your father, the devil. They were trying to keep the law. They were reading the Old Testament, memorizing it, writing commentaries on it. People today who call themselves Christian, but who believe that their works in some way attain or maintain salvation for them, my friend, they're walking according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. A child of disobedience in the Bible is an unbeliever. One who does not believe the true gospel. One who is ignorant of or not submitted to the righteousness of God, which is the perfection of righteousness that can only be found in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is not just a historical fact. It is historical fact. But it's the establishment, the fulfillment of righteousness for God's people. And it's the only righteousness we have. I want to be a good person. I want to be a moral person. I want to be responsible. But that's not my righteousness by which God judges me saved. The righteousness which God judges me saved is the imputed righteousness of Christ. His righteousness charged to my account, just as my sins were charged to His. And He put them away by His death, washed in the blood of Christ, clothed in His righteousness. Have you ever sang, if you go to church, have you ever sang a hymn called The Solid Rock, which says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Do you understand what that hymn's saying? That's a good hymn. It goes on in one verse, it says, this is all my hope and peace. There's another hymn that I'm quoting there, is what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And it goes on to say, this is all my hope and peace. This is all my righteousness. Do you understand what that means? That means you don't deserve and you haven't earned the least of God's blessings, no matter what you do. And so in verse 3, he says, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. The lust is a desire. Okay? Most of the time, it's an unlawful desire. When we think of lust, we think about sexual lust and that kind of thing. But the lust of the flesh would include any unlawful desire inspired by the flesh. For example, go back to Genesis chapter 4 and think about Cain and Abel and how they approached God seeking salvation, seeking blessings from God, seeking communion with God. Now, Abel came on the basis of what? The blood of a lamb. And that was typical. That typified, symbolized the blood of Christ. And so Abel was received because why? Because Abel was a good person? No. Because Abel was sincere? No. He was received because he brought the blood of the Lamb, which typified Christ. Now Cain, he came a different way, didn't he? You say, well, Cain wasn't sincere. How do you know that? The Bible doesn't say that Cain was an insincere person. Cain brought the works of his hands. He desired salvation, blessings from God, communion with God, based on what? His works. Now that is a desire or a lust, an unlawful desire of the flesh. So false religion would be categorized as lust of the flesh. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, it says. And were by nature, that is, as we are naturally born, the children of wrath, even as others. Who are the children of wrath? It's those who die in sin, continue in unbelief all through their lives, and die in unbelief, and they experience the wrath of God. condemnation. They're not in Christ. They never come to faith in Christ. They've never been born again. But God chose a people before the foundation of the world who, though they fell in Adam and are born in sin and death, spiritually dead, He sends His Spirit through Christ, based upon the blood and righteousness of Christ, to give them life. But by nature, as they are naturally born, they're no different than the children of wrath. They're no more deserving of God's grace, God's salvation, God's blessing. They have no more earned God's blessings and salvation than those who perish in eternity. In other words, it's a matter of God's mercy to sinners. Look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. This is the love of God. There's no love of God outside of Christ. There's only hatred and wrath. Somebody told me one time, said, God doesn't hate anybody. Well, you better change the Bible you're reading then, because the Bible says God hates all workers of iniquity. The Bible says that God hated Esau. Who does God hate? And what is God's hate? God's hatred is not sinful. It's not unreasonable and it's not unjust. Ours is, because our hatred comes from our own selfishness. That's why we're told to love our neighbors ourselves. But God's hatred abides on any sinner to whom sin, iniquity, is imputed, charged. In other words, outside of Christ. In Christ, my sins have been charged to Him, and He paid for them on the cross. In Christ, I have a righteousness that answers the demands of God's justice. The love of God is that which provides Christ for His chosen people. Herein, 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, that's His people, believers, and hath sent His Son to be the propitiation, sin-bearing sacrifice who brought satisfaction, propitiation for our sins. Christ, by the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin. That's the love of God and His great love. Look at verse 5. He says, even when we were dead in sins. In other words, there was no time that we could say, well, now we finally earned it and we finally deserve it. Listen, God's mercy and love towards His elect, His church, His people, Christ's sheep, the redeemed ones, the quickened ones, that was active in their lives, even though they didn't know it, even when we were dead in sins. God didn't look down and say, now, if you will just do this, I'll do that. He didn't say, if you'll just do your part. I've done my best. I'm trying to save everybody, but they just won't let. No, no, no. That is not scriptural. God chose a people before the foundation of the world and gave them to Christ, made Christ to be their surety. And as their surety, He came. That means their sin debt was charged to His account. And He became responsible to pay their debt. He willingly took that office on. And then He came to this world and united His deity with a sinless human nature and walked on this earth as God-man, as the substitute of His people, went under the death of the cross to pay the penalty of sin for them. For His sheep, the good shepherd gives His life for the sheep. And as He shed His blood unto death, He finished the work. He paid the debt. He redeemed us from our sins. So that He is the, as Romans 10:4 says, He is the end of the law for righteousness. He is the finishing, the fulfillment, the perfection, the completion of the law in its justice for righteousness, for satisfaction to law and justice, for righteousness to everyone who believes. Everyone who is quickened, you hath He quickened. So this thing of the gospel, this thing of salvation, this thing of acceptance with God, this thing of blessings from God and communion with God, this thing of heaven and eternal life is a matter of God's mercy to sinners. It's not a matter of God giving to those who meet certain conditions the blessings of salvation. It's not a matter of salvation conditioned on sinners, and if they'll meet certain conditions and do certain things and make certain decisions, then God will bless them. It's a matter of God's mercy to sinners. Sometimes the word mercy refers to that term that I used earlier, quoting from 1 John 4:10, propitiation. For example, in the book of Luke chapter 18, you had a parable there that the Lord spoke, whereby he illustrated how God justifies sinners. You had a Pharisee who stood before the temple, lifted up his eyes, and said, I thank God that I'm not like other men. I'm not an extortioner. And then he said, thank God that I do give twice a week, tithes twice a week. I do this, I do that. And that man expected God to bless him based upon, now listen to this, what he believed God enabled him to do. You know, many people are like that. I've heard people say, well, when I stand before God, then my works will be shot up on a screen, but that's all God's work. No, let me tell you something. If that's your righteousness before God, you're in trouble. Just like that Pharisee. All the things that he bragged about, see. But the publican, he said, Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. And that mercy was a propitiation, a sin-bearing sacrifice that brought satisfaction. That's what salvation is. It's a matter of God's mercy to sinners, God's grace, God's love. And so when we talk about mercy here in verse 4 of Ephesians 2, that's talking about God's mercy, not propitiation, but that's where it comes from in Christ. I hope you join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.